IBM Podcast. I'm George Faulkner. IBM has received more patents from the United States Patent and Trademark Office than any other company for 13 years in a row. With more than 40,000 patents in the IBM patent portfolio, it makes sense that IBM has an opinion on how to build a new IP marketplace. This podcast series will address how the prolific nature of invention has had a few unintended consequences. The complicated nature of the patent system has created an environment where uncertainty generates economic opportunity, not through innovation, but sadly, litigation. If public faith in the patent system is to be sustained, patent quality must improve, and quickly. With me today to discuss the IP marketplace is Irving Ladowski-Berger, IBM Vice President of Technical Strategy and Innovation. Irving, welcome to the show.
George, nice talking to you.
What is patent quality and why is it important?
A high-quality patent should be one that is a result of a really good invention, that when people look at it, they say, boy, this is really new. I've never seen that before. This is really significant. And you can really see that this is the result of either a lot of hard work or some incredible brilliance, but something that looks really good, that the boundaries of what has been claimed are clear. So, you know, this is what the invention covers. It is written in a very clear way so that people can understand this is the invention.
Yep.
This clarity is very important because the purpose of the patent system, Thomas Jefferson, my colleagues in IP law tell me that Jefferson was really not happy about the notion of granting somebody a monopoly, that was sort of anathema to what they wanted to do. But the reason they did it with the patent system is to encourage the inventors to disclose their patents so that other people can then read it and build on it and innovate on top of that. And in order to encourage that, they gave the inventor a monopoly for a certain period of time so that if you use their idea, you have to pay them money, negotiate a license, or something else. So patent quality is clear, the boundaries is clear, it is new, and it is significant. That's what high quality in my mind means.
Are there differences that you see between the way that the patent system operated back then and sort of the quality of the patent situation today?
Well, I think that the patent system has changed quite a bit, probably in two key ways. First of all, the volume of patents have increased a lot. Now, that shouldn't surprise us because pretty much everybody agrees that we are moving much more into an economy where a lot of the output will be based on the mind or the intellect, and patents capture that. So, shouldn't surprise us that the volumes are going up so much. And then there are whole new classes of patents. For example, when I first joined IBM Research in 1970, software or anything like services was just, everything was technology and hardware.
Yeah.
And later, now software patents are an increasing portion of the patents we produce because there are so many inventions that are best embodied in software. And then there are whole new disciplines, biotechnology, life sciences in general. So the patent system has grown extensively in multiple dimensions in the last decades, and we can expect that growth to continue given the nature of the innovation taking place out there.
Do you see patent quality as an important element in the stimulation of innovation?
Well, it's a very important element in trust in the system. I mean, I don't think we've gotten to the point where lack of trust is hurting innovation. I don't think we're at that point. It may be hurting getting the innovation to the marketplace, because the problem, I believe, that low-quality patents, and especially large volume of low-quality patents, will then result in a lot more litigation, in a lot more lawsuits that just shouldn't have been there. And to that extent, that energy goes into litigation and the legal system instead of pouring that energy into inventing things and then commercializing them, then it will take away from it. So,
which also is taking away from the inventor some of the protection that the patent system is there for.
Yeah, absolutely. The inventor then lacks certainty, because you're not totally sure what you own, and the value of what you own could be set in some very arbitrary way. Like, you know, depending on how aggressive the person that's owning the patent wants to be, and, you know, what kind of subterfuges they might use to try to extract as much value from the patent as possible. Whereas if you have a system with certainty, with trust, with pretty much rules of the game that most situations will cover, you have a far better running system. That's why in the last several months, as we've been thinking about, you know, this notion of bringing trust and certainty into the patent system, all of a sudden we started thinking of establishing a well-functioning IP marketplace. Now, if you look at physical goods or financial goods, physical goods might be a house or a car. Now, if you want to sell a house, there has to be certainty that you indeed are the owner of that house. And in fact, you know, people get insurance to make sure you're the owner. And, you know, and for the, every so often there might be a problem, but for the most part, that's been a well-running system. When you sell a house, the person who bought it needs to know precisely what did they buy. Because what if they buy the land and after they buy it, they say, you know, I really would love to have a bigger pool that I can put in my land, so I'm just going to build it across what they claim is the neighbor's land, but I really think it should be mine. Well, that would be a problem. And what if the people decide, you know, I really should own the front of the house through which the roads go, because maybe I'll put a toll and charge money for cars that want to go by. That would create chaos. But once you wanted a smooth-running society where people could buy lots of houses, lots of cars, lots of physical goods, minimizing litigation and obstacles, certainty and trust had to come in. And I would say, for the most part, you have a system with certainty and trust. Well, in a knowledge economy, you would like to have a free flow of intellectual goods, of the goods that come out of the mind, out of the intellect.
With clearly defined value.
With clearly defined values, clearly defined boundaries, so that people know what they are buying, what they are not, and where the probability that what you bought is not what you think you bought is very small. So that if you build a product or a business or put together a service based on ideas, you know, you want as much certainty as possible that you don't have to live in fear that other people will come and say out of the blue, you know, what you have, I really own. And then because of vagueness in the system, you spend your life in litigation. And if the people who come after you have a tremendous amount more money than you, they can extract a payoff that may not be reasonable. So that's what we need to fix. And there is no question in my mind it will have to be fixed.
Yeah.
Because in the same way that civilized societies felt they needed a market that encouraged the free exchange of physical goods and the free exchange of financial goods, it's going to demand that you have a smooth running exchange of intellectual goods, which are generally, many of them, are embodied as patents.
Right. So the uncertainty needs to be replaced with clarity.
Yeah, I think most people would say the patent system needs to be reformed. Most everybody agreed. And I think most people would agree we need to focus on three key ingredients. The first one is what we would call transparency, which is everybody should have access to information. And that's why, for example, we've taken actions recently with working with the U.S. Patent Office, the Open Source Development Labs, OSDL, and others, to help bring the community into the picture much more. Because, for example, if I apply for a patent and there is somebody out there that thinks they already have made that invention, they should bring that information to the patent examiners. Now, if they don't know I applied, they cannot do that. But in today's internet age, one should be able to create an open internet-based platform in which everybody sees the patents that examiners are considering, and they can add information. And that kind of free flow of information should eliminate a lot of low-quality patents. And only the ones that survive that system, you know, which we need to build, we need to make sure it runs smoothly, are the ones that will make it through. Now, the second major thing you need is integrity in the system, that you restore trust to the system, that people are comfortable that all the right things will happen to patents and their patent applications, that you don't want to feel that there are people out there who are hoarding patents or amassing, let's say, a large number of low-quality patents and then come after you. You want to have a pretty good idea that there is a system in which, you know, people are not lurking in the shadows waiting to pounce on you once you build up your system. That, you know, or that somebody made a contribution to an open standard that they held a patent for that they didn't tell anybody, and then later on when that standard is used widely, they'll come after it. Now, the third major part of a smooth-running system is fair valuation. You know, it would be wonderful if when I want to sell you a house, I could ask whatever money I want to have a great retirement. But unfortunately, life doesn't work that way. I can only ask you a fair marketplace price because you know, you're going to look around at other houses. And if I'm asking too much, you're just not going to buy my house.
Well, and you've put a toll in the front street and a pool in the neighbor's yard.
And exactly. So having fair prices is very important. Now, how do you establish fair prices? Well, that's where market mechanisms give us guidance. For example, having patent quality indices that people can look at that take into account the quality of the patent, the risks that it will be overturned, and other things like that based on a variety of mechanisms can serve the role of what when people rate bonds. And, you know, they say this is a AAA bond or this is a AA or B or junk. And then investors can buy bonds or not, but they have all the information, including, you know, the indices that tell them how much risk there is. So having patent quality indices, which is a major project we have ongoing with academics and others, is an important part of this.
Yeah, I keep thinking back to my grandfather, who was the sort of fellow who would tinker and invent small things just for the fun of it, file a patent every now and then. What does this mean to the small inventor?
What would be very nice with this notion of IP marketplace would be to give small inventors and individual inventors like your grandfather was a very good channel to market. You almost think of maybe there could be the equivalent of an eBay where, you know, they can put their patent and get bids and different people would bid for them. And that now you have a marketplace. Now, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know if this would work or wouldn't work. But, you know, you would want those patents. The whole notion of a marketplace is get as many people as possible to know about it, because you never know who has the biggest need. And if they find out, then they, in principle, will put the biggest the amount of money on the table, and then that would keep creating inventions. That's what we would be like, nice to have a smooth functioning business. And how much money is it worth? Well, I don't know. It's whatever a fair market would come up with.
Yeah, an open marketplace. It sounds like a huge opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's how I hope it evolves. And by the way, if in the process of trying to sell it, you know, let's say one of the things that's very important with eBay, as you know, is the reputation of the seller. And that's a very big deal.
Sure.
And people can see the reputation of the seller. Similarly, it would be very nice to have information about the reputation of the inventors or of the companies doing the invention. Because obviously, if somebody has sold 50 patents and, you know, the risk of being overturned or whatever has been very small, they should be able to command a much higher price than somebody that every other sale results in massive litigation. And that information should be known by everybody.
And the system as it stands right now, is it hard to get that sort of information?
Yeah, I think that information is not there. And often, in fact, people are able to get all kinds of subterfuges to hide precisely who owns what.
Hmm.
And generally, that's not good for the system.
Is the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office crippled by the volume of applications that they get, do you think, to some degree? And is this hurting the quality of the patent system?
I think, to be honest, given the volumes and complexity and the fact that the tools to go along with them haven't kept up, it's hard to imagine how an examiner can do their job. So
yeah.
There's no question that examiners need help. That's why tools so that community can give them information so that they can search and all kinds of much more community collaborative tools are so important. I think that the volumes and the complexity definitely have not helped here. And, you know, part of the system, and again, this all has to evolve, is it many times also the issues around patents and whether patents are valid or not are very technical. And, you know, to be honest, beyond what any reasonable jury of people that don't know anything about the subject would be able to evaluate. And so even the whole way of handling this, you know, maybe there was a time when a jury system, maybe there was a kindler, gentler time when patents were simpler and jury systems can look at them, but
things they could see and
things
touch.
They can see and yeah. touch and simpler, but
and it's not that way anymore.
It's not that way anymore.
And I understand that on February 16th, there'll be a meeting at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Are these things that we've been talking about today very much at the forefront of what will be discussed at this meeting?
Well, I think the meeting is primarily on the community involvement to help give information to the U.S. Patent Office and on the work especially with the open source community to make it easier to search open source software so that if an examiner has a piece of software and is looking at an application, they can see if there is some other software that exists out there that this is too close to. So it's going to be to explore mechanisms both to help community feedback and the searching of open source software.
So maybe the conversation around the open source patent situation will help to work toward a broader fix for the system.
Yeah, I think these are just the right dialogues. I mean, this is all very complicated and very sophisticated, so lots of work has to happen, and have to remember one of the big changes also in the patent system I didn't mention before is we're living in a much more global economy than ever. And so, you know, the U.S. is just one of the players. Mm. You know, China is coming on strong, India is coming on strong, obviously the European Commission, there's a lot of activity, on and on and on. So you'd like, in the same way that you get better trade when countries can best deal with each other, you want to facilitate the exchange of intellectual goods by not having systems that are wildly different from each other. So that's another sophisticated part of what we all need to do, is to work on how to facilitate the different countries collaborating how, in reforming the patent system.
Yeah, how are those relationships currently?
Well, there is a lot of dialogue. I mean, in the end, reforming the system will happen when people get involved as a community and bring their ideas and take actions and keep adding new ideas. And that's why I like the idea that there are projects in place to get more community involvement. You know, many in the open source community have like software patents. Well, let them get involved so that open source software is easily searchable, so that at least we can reduce bad software patents. And I think we also need people not just in one country, but in different countries to communicate and talk with each other. Definitely the experts in intellectual property, many of which are the IP lawyers who are the experts in the legal system, but also economists, and then business people that at the end of the day are the ones who are hopefully taking advantage of all this innovation to build products, create services, create jobs, help the economies. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what this is all about.
Irving Wadowski-Berger, thank you for being here.
George, nice talking to you.
IBM. podcast.